Our famous quote today comes from Charles Spurgeon. I do not believe any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. And the reason it comes up, Galatians 3:24. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. If you'll open God's word to the book of Mark chapter 4. This is a parable of the seed and the sower. Very applicable today because there's a lot of things that are going on and we need to make sure we understand what ground are we standing on. We're reading verses 1 through 20. If you would, please follow along as I read. Mark 4, verse 1. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell on the good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parable, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word was sown, and when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on a rocky soil, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of the things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide my words and thoughts here this morning, that by your leading and guidance, this body would be edified, but above all, you would be glorified. Lord, I pray that everything that is shared would build your kingdom. I thank you in advance for what you're about to do. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Mark chapter 4 through 19 is going to be kind of, or 4, 9 through 14 is going to be our kind of our key focus. He who has an ear, let him hear. When he was along with the 12, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. For those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see and not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Verse 13 is key. If you have your own Bible, I would encourage you to underline it. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word." If you understand how all this plays out, this is a key parable, a key to all the parables. You got to understand that not everybody who hears, if you can't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any parable. This parable helped the disciples understand why Jesus was not impressed with large crowds. Just to have a good sized crowd does not mean they serve the living God. He wasn't impressed with large crowds that followed him. He knew that most of them never produced fruit and changed lives because the word he was teaching them was like seed falling on poor soil. The seed represents God's word. I'm going to move this up here so I don't... Hopefully it'll stay. The seed represents God's word. Even Luke 11 has the same concept. The sower is the servant of God who shares the word with others. The human heart is like soil. It must be prepared to receive the seed before the seed can take root and produce a harvest. Like seed, the word is alive and able to produce spiritual fruit, but the seed must be planted and cultivated before that harvest will come. Our hearts before Christ is deceitfully wicked. In fact, we're told in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it? Even in Genesis, man's heart is on evil continually. In fact, it was so bad, God grieved that he had even made mankind. The heart, without Christ, there is no hope. But Jesus is our hope. He is our salvation. When the Spirit of God starts to work in you, he starts to allow you to feel things that you never felt before. Have compassion and empathy on people that you would turn away from them. You wouldn't care about them. But with God working in you and through you, you start to have empathy and compassion on other people like you never had before. Because you realize you have the keys to eternal life through Christ and that you must share that with other people. 1 Corinthians 3, 4-9. For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. And the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I find it interesting when people start to focus more on the preacher or the denomination than they do on God himself. It's a trap we cannot fall into. As in that day, so today, there are four kinds of hearts, and they respond to God's message in four different ways. The first one is the hard heart. Resists the word of God and makes it easier for Satan or the birds to snatch it away. Soil becomes hard when too many feet tread on it. Those who recklessly open their hearts to all kinds of people and influences are in danger of developing hard hearts. Hard hearts must be plowed up before they can receive the seed. And this can be a painful experience. Even Charles Spurgeon says you must drive the needle of the law through the heart before the silken thread of the gospel can bend it and bind it back together. It's a painful process. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Jeremiah 4:3, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Our parking lot right now between the gravel and everything else is probably so hard we'd have to work it diligently to get it ready to plant anything on it because it is so hard. Hosea 10:12-13. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up the fallow ground, for it is time for you to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. He declared that you have plowed iniquity and you have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and not in the multitude of warriors. Genesis 15:10-14. And he brought them all. And he brought them all these, cut them in half, and laid each half against the other. And he did this. This is when, let me back up just a little bit and give a little intro into this. God is getting ready to make a covenant with Abraham. He told him that the livestock and the animals that he must be cut and prepare for him to sacrifice to God Almighty. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Birds of prey will always try to steal away what God is trying to do. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions." This is talking about the time that Israel had to go into the land of Egypt and was there 400 years. And when they drove them out, they had great wealth. Next, you have the shallow heart. This heart is like the thin soil on a rock. Very typical to Palestine in that day. Since there was no depth, whatever is planted cannot last because it has no roots. This represents the emotional here, who joyfully accept God's word, but does not really understand the price that must be paid to become a genuine Christian. And I bring this to your attention for many different reasons. Number one, I do not do altar calls. I haven't done an altar call since I've been here because I don't want an emotional response. I want you to think about what it is that God is doing in your life, and you have to discern, do you want to follow Him or not? Dietrich Bonhoeffer made the statement, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to die. You die to self, you die to Christ, in order that you might live for Christ. Everything that you are, everything that you think you have to sacrifice it in some way or fashion that you can serve the living God. There may be great enthusiasm for several days and weeks, but when persecution and difficulties begin, the enthusiasm wanes and joy disappears. It is easier for fallen human nature to counterfeit religious feelings and give a professed Christian the feeling of false confidence. Mark chapter 4, 16 and 17. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. They forget the words from Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 13. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and apostates will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." I say this to you because I want you to understand. I have been around so many people, and some have been told a lie. Come to Jesus and all your problems will disappear. It's a lie. Your problems are just going to get started. Come to Jesus and your golf swing will improve. That's a lie too. Only way your golf swing will improve is by practice. Only way your marriage will improve is by working at it. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed." Being a Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to have problems. That's just a reality. You're going to struggle. But He gives us the strength to endure. He leads us. He guides us. He empowers us. Then we have the crowded heart. This heart pictures the person who receives the word but does not truly repent and remove the weeds out of his or her heart. He hears too many different kinds of the seeds growing in the soil. Or he has too many different kinds of seeds growing in the soil. Worldly cares, a desire for riches, lust for things. And the good seed of the word has no room in which to grow. to change the image this person wants to walk on the broad way and the narrow way at the same time, and it can't be done. You might be thinking, where is that at? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and those who find it are few. If you go into Yaleville, you'll see a sign for the Broadway Church. I would never go there. What I just read here, wow. For the gate is wide and the way is easy and it leads to destruction. It's marked heaven, but it's actually going to hell. Mark 4:13. And he said to them, do you understand this parable? How then do we understand all parables? This parable is key in understanding all parables. Not everyone who says they are Christian actually know Jesus. Remember John 17:3. This is eternal life, to know him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It is an intimate knowledge with Jesus. And then there is a fruitful heart. This heart pictures a true believer, because fruit of a changed life is evidence of true salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If somebody told me they got hit by a Mack truck, I would expect there to be damage to their body. Would you agree? I mean, you would think there's some bruises, some scratches, or something. A changed life in Christ means that God has radically done something to us. Our attitudes, our desires, our wants should be changed to align to Almighty God. There should be new desires, all of this for the glory of God. The other three hearts produce no fruit. So we conclude that they belong to a person who has never been born again. I've already encountered some of these people over the years. Being in ministry almost 20 years. Oh no, I'm a believer. One person told me, I am too blessed to be stressed. And because of his arrogant pride, he never told me how bad he was in need of funds and ended up robbing a convenience store and was in jail for the next 15 years. Not all true believers are equally as productive. But every genuine Christian life, there will be some evidence of spiritual fruit. One of the things that changed my life and attitude was the comments from Charles Spurgeon. If I have no wish for others to be saved, then I am not saved myself. Oh boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, what do you mean? I know what I did. It's not what I did, it's what God did in me that matters most. Each of the three fruitless hearts is influenced by a different enemy. The hard heart, the devil himself, snatches the seed. The shallow heart, flesh, counterfeits religion and feelings. The crowded heart, the things of the world, smother the growth and prevent a harvest. These are the three great enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. From Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Remember 1 John 2, 15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And this is from Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. All of these things ought to cause us to step back, take a look, and ask us, what ground are we standing on? In all honesty. Because there's times I look in the mirror and realize that I may be in a thorny ground area that I need to start cultivating, pulling this stuff out. because if it squelches the spirit and what God is doing in me, I don't need it. I have seen the stony ground hears in my ministry and the walk that my wife and I have been in for the long time. We have seen those who come and go. I have lost students when I was teaching the Biblical School of Evangelism because they literally told me, "Pastor, I can't stay with this because things are getting too hard." And I just started laughing. What did you expect? And I have to ask the same question to all of you. What do you expect when you follow Jesus, that everything's going to be peaches and cream? Smooth? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get a little rocky, but that's okay, because He gives us the strength that we need in order to endure, to overcome all things. Why? Because He is God Almighty. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. If you are in Christ, do you still desire to do the things you used to do before Christ? I mean, think about it. If you still desire to go out and do the things you used to do before Christ and nothing has changed, then I don't know if you know Jesus. And I'm sorry to say it that way, but it's a reality. In fact, let me put this down. If I go to Galatians, if you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16. Hang on. I gotta get some water. Praise Jesus for water. Hallelujah. Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 16. Wow. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank, period. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, or faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, I share all this with you because there are so many things that are going on that we got to be able to walk in the Spirit, have that peace, have that self-control, have that ability to do what God calls us to do no matter what. And it's not easy. But the grace of God is He gives us the power and the strength to overcome. Kind of goes back to be that new creation, a new creature, that God touches us, changes us forever. I am grateful for what Almighty God has done. I am grateful for the power that He works in and through us. I am grateful to see this wheelchair empty instead of having someone in it. I am grateful to see lives radically changed. I am grateful that we were able to baptize 10 people on June 13th. I am grateful that lives are being changed. But I also want you to understand and know that you have to examine yourself daily. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself unless you don't realize where you're at. Hang on. I try to paraphrase. I'm going to actually read it so I don't misquote it. Because it's vitally important. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we can feel the hand of God. I pray that we can feel Jesus touching our life. I pray that we will see what He does in and through us for His glory and His kingdom, all the more as the day draws near. And I am grateful that we're able to meet. Even though it's in a park, it doesn't matter. We're able to meet. We take things one day at a time, one step at a time. But whatever we do, let us give God all the glory for it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so very much for the privilege of being here this morning, for the people You brought here. I pray this resonates in their hearts. I pray that they would seek You above all things. They would check the ground that they're walking on. Check their heart. Lord, there are so many things that are going on, and I am grateful that You are moving in and through us for Your glory and for Your kingdom. Oh, Lord, let lives be forever changed. Help us to walk more and more closer to You. Oh, Lord, what a privilege it is to walk with You, to talk with You. Oh, Father God, have Your way in and through us for Your glory and kingdom. Holy Spirit, come, fill us afresh and move in a mighty way. We praise You now for what You're about to do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.